Let's read together from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. I'd like to talk to you about something that happened to you a long time ago. It was very important. I'm not sure whether you're aware of it. It happened, in fact, just before your birth. Yes, before your birth, you had a meeting with God. You are an internal being. You had a face before you were born. And God asked you whether you are willing to come to earth, because he's busy with a project on earth. He's busy with the restoration of everything on earth. And he would like you to do something specific for him with your life. Come to earth, live here, be a human, and express something and do something for me. You said yes. That's why you're here. And he said, I'll give you everything that you need to accomplish this mission. I'll form you. I'll bring two people together, your parents, for your coming into this world. And I will knit you in the womb of your mother. And I will craft you according to my image. You'll be made. And I will give you experiences through life that will keep on forming you. I will keep on knitting and a personality, gifts, talents, passions will be formed in you through all of this. And I will give you the people, the place, the time, everything that you need so that you can accomplish this mission. After you said yes, he turned around and said, well, here's an angel for you to accompany you on this life's mission. So the angel turned around and put his finger on your lips and he said, shh. And at that moment, you forgot everything. That's where this little dip in your upper lip comes from. So if you ever see anybody else with a dip in their upper lip, you'll know they've had a meeting. And this is one of the big tasks in life now, to remember that meeting where you come from and what your life's all about. And that's why if we forget something, we'll put our finger right at that spot and say, what am I thinking? I can't remember now. Yes, that's one of the big tasks of life. And this story is a part of the Jewish folklore. And the reason for this type of stories is to give us identity, to tell us who we are. What does it mean to be human? Why are we here? What's life all about? And it's a theme that you'll pick up in a lot of cultures and in the Christian tradition, that yes, we are like everybody else, made in the image of God. We're all human. But there's also something unique about every one of us. Yes, we have a core. But like an onion, we've got layers to our identity. Very close to the core should perhaps be your gifts, your personality. It's all been given to you. And then there's all the other stuff of being a man or a woman, your culture, being a father, your work, everything else. And all of this makes up your identity. And it's our task in life to discover who we are. To accept what God has given us. Not to try to create ourselves. You know, that is a big message that we hear these days. You know, you can be whoever you want to be. Yeah, not really. Why don't you be who you are? How God has created you. And then work what you discover after you've accepted it out. Let it emerge. Become yourself. You're a human being and God has given you something. And you can become. At birth, we're not fully human yet. We've got to grow into it. And this is a big aspect of our journey on life with God. This is what Thomas Merton said. He said, for me, to be a saint means to be myself. Therefore, the problem of sanctity and salvation is in fact the problem of finding out who I am and of discovering my true self. Today, we look at a biography of Moses. It's only a few sentences, but it's loaded. And it gives us some clues about this journey of finding of yourself and becoming yourself. So Moses became Moses by, first of all, regarding. Listen, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. This has to do with clarifying your values. We all value things or people. We all regard things. Why? Why are things important to us? Because it gives me life. It fills and fulfills some of my needs. It gives me joy if I do things that I would like to do, when I get things that I really like. It fills my life with dreams. What can I get? What do I really, I need more. I need something else. And it fills me with the energy. It gives me meaning to my life. We've got a lot of values. And we regard a lot of things in life. But some things are more important than other things in our life. We can say that we have core values. There are some values that start to dominate in our life. Here's the thing with Moses. Moses knew his core values. He said, Egypt gave it to me. And what I realized was its position, its pleasure, and its possessions. Position has to do with esteem. It has to do with whether people say about me, whether people think about me. It has to do with power. Pleasure has to do with what I can do, you know. And possessions has to do with perhaps with security, with comfort. And he said, that's the things that I discovered in my life. And it looks as if it doesn't matter what your values are. It boils down to one of these three values. But there's another big thing about values. Your values will determine and has a big effect on your identity. Your values are the things or the people that you identify with. What you identify with shapes your identity. You will become what you identify with. For instance, I'm sure you've met somebody that went through traumatic experiences, but unlike other people, they got stuck in what happened to them. It shaped their identity. It is a dominant aspect of who they are, of how they think about themselves, of how they talk about themselves, even where they found meaning. Well, you must understand, I can't do this. I am shattered because this happened to me. And that compassion that they receive from other people is enough for them to give them meaning to go on in life. Now, we can regard anything in life. You know, it can be your sexual orientation. It can be your knowledge. It can be your body, your looks. It can be your role, your work. It can even be a sickness. People say, I am depressed. Not, I have depression. I am depressed. My attachment, that it's dominant in my consciousness of how I think about myself. Now, the early church had a different way of talking about it, but it's the same thing. They talked about attachments. It's what you value. It's the spiritual language. You have attachments. There are things that become very important to you in your life. And it can be very good things, but here's the warning. Don't live with disordered attachments. All values are not the same. Some things are more important than other things. And the teaching was that at the core of your life should be God, should be Christ. If anything becomes more important than God in your life, you live with an idol. And an idol will promise you a lot of joy, a lot of fulfillment, but it cannot deliver on its promises. And an idol will always enslave you, make you addicted. Your life will fall apart. It won't work because it's not the way that God has made us. If you go against the godly design, your life will fall apart. So that's why it's so important to discover what your values are. Now, your values is not what you think they are. Your values aren't necessarily what you say they are. Your values are what they are. It would be reflected in your decisions that you make and the way that you live. So do you know what your core values are? And do you know what the effect of your values and your value system are on your life? Discover it. And you will discover it usually through painful experiences that would take you back to reflect upon. The experience itself will not necessarily bring growth or transformation in your life. But it would be an invitation the moment that you reflect on it. And when you get inside into it, it can be a wonderful moment of growth. You can, for instance, say and think, the fact that I'm the beloved of God, the child of God, is at the core of my life. You really think so? You want to be it to be that way? But then something happens. You're not invited by your best friend to his birthday celebration. What happens to you? You'd say, but I can't believe it. You're hurt. You're upset. You're angry. How can you do this to me? What's happening? In reflection, you would say, okay, I said it's the most important thing what God thinks about me and whether I'm in a good relationship with him, but suddenly my whole life is turned upside down because of this. These painful experiences help me to discover my true values, gives me the opportunity to do something about it. So that's the next thing. He refused and he chose. And that has to do with taking responsibility for your life. When he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. So he refused. He said no. But refused me actually means that there was pressure on him. There were people that wanted something else for him in his life. And he said no. I don't know whether you know it, but there's a pressure on you. Romans 12:2 says that don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Moffat's translation, the message says, don't fit into your culture without even thinking about it. There's a pressure, there's a coalition of, it's an unholy trinity of the flesh and of the world and of the evil one that wants to destroy you. They'll just be happy to keep you away from becoming yourself, to fulfilling your mission. They will conspire even to make you very successful, but you won't be fruitful. You won't be fulfilled. You won't be at home because you haven't become yourself. And that's why Moses said, yes, there are other, you can create yourself. You can be whatever you want to be, but it's not what God wanted you to be. It's not how you were designed. It's not in accordance to who you really are at your core and your gifts and your passions. You can't become you. It doesn't work. It will give you joy for a short while, Moses says. So he said, no. What did he say yes for? I chose the people of God. What does that mean? Well, I chose for God, Yahweh, God the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that created everything, the world where he came from, there was a lot of gods in Egypt. Everything that gave life and that was beautiful and wonderful, they made a God out of it and said, that's the ultimate thing for me in my life. And Moses said, no, nothing that God created is the ultimate thing. God is the ultimate thing in my life. And God chose a people so that they could be his witness. And he chose them to bring forth the Messiah into this world. The one who will bring about the new life and the new way of living. And that's why it's important to God, it's important to me. That's what he chose. At the core was Christ, the body of Christ, and the work of Christ. And he could make that decision when he had grown up. It's a mark of maturity. If you've grown up, you take responsibility for your life. He didn't say, well, I can't help. This is what life has given me. You know, I'm the prince of Egypt, and aren't I lucky to be the prince of Egypt? I can be a witness for God, yeah. But he would not choose according to who he was made for. And that decision changed these values, you know, to choose God, to put somebody in the center in your life. Actually, just accept the fact that I'm created in his image. I'm his child. I'm his beloved. I've that in common with everybody. But I've got this gifts. I've got this passions. I've got this way about me that my essence, things that happen just wherever I go, I've become aware of it. It's God's gift to me. I chose that. And then the third thing, he just persevered. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He fed his imagination with Christ and the way that Christ lived. He kept his eye just after the writer of the book of Hebrews finished with this few biographies that he wrote. He said, now friends, that is a cloud of witnesses. That they're watching us. What are we going to do with our lives? And he said, let's persevere. Let's keep going. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. The example of Jesus, because that's how he lived. He did not choose the easy way. He chose the way of God to be who he is. He was tempted. You know, just after during his baptism, he heard a voice that said, you are my beloved child. He was tempted just after that to find his identity in something else. But the people, why did you, do you know how famous you would be if you jump off the temple? You'll be on the Jerusalem's Post head page the next morning. Everybody will know about you. Fulfill your deepest needs and desire at the moment. You're hungry? Eat immediately. Fill your desires. Jesus said, no. He said, well, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world, a possession, people, a pleasure. He said, no. Why? He said, he endured the cross. He endured his suffering because he saw and he looked forward to the big reward for a joy that was set before him. Something great will come out of this. So it's a journey. And we'll be tempted on this journey because there's so much pressure on us. We hear different stories all the time. It's important what people say about you. Become what other people want you to be. Be famous. In possessions. So much of the teachings of Jesus was about money, mammon. And he said, no, you will never find the life that you're looking for by having a lot of things, by being famous. You, it's been given unto you. Accept it and live according to that. It's a big invitation for us. And the end of our lives, when we leave this earth, we will have a meeting again just after that. And we would stand before him. And he would ask us, so what happened? How did it go? And he's not going to ask us, why didn't you do more? Why weren't you a bit more like Moses or Mother Teresa? Or why weren't you a bit more like your hero? No, he would ask you, why didn't you become who you were supposed to be? Why aren't you more like you? Because there's only one you. That's the big invitation. And when you can say, it is done. I've tried it. I've grown into it. He would say, come in, faithful servant. Enter into the joy forever. Big reward for becoming yourself. So it's a big invitation for all of us to go on this journey in finding ourselves in God, God in us, honoring it and living in accordance to where it takes us in our life. Paul says, make a careful exploration of who you are, and then you'll know the work that you've been given, and then you sink yourself into that. Galatians 5 from the Message. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful way that you've made us. Thank you that we've been made in your image. We're image bearers. We're your children. Thank you that we're your beloved. But thank you for all the gifts, for our uniqueness, the passions that's in us, that comes from you. And thank you for the opportunities that comes our way to live it out, to work it out in our life, and to do what you wanted us to do. Thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of the Father be with you. Amen.